Well, that sermon bumper was a little shorter than normal. That's why I looked over and had 8 seconds to get up here. Ron, thank you for leading us, man. What a blessing. Wow. And orchestration and all. What a tremendous worship gathering we've had. Musical worship gathering we've had today. What a great, great, great time we've had in the Lord in music. If you brought your Bibles, I hope you did. Turn with me several verses throughout, but we're launching from Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, very familiar passage. As we're in the continuation, this is kind of like the fourth installment of part 4 of the promises of God. You recall that I said early in our burn through this that there's over 7,000 promises that deal with mankind, and there's 8,125 total promises, depending on what version of scripture that you reference to. But most theologians say there's about 7,000 or a little over 7,000 promises that deal with mankind, and we are not going to cover all 7,000 of them, but we're going to cover a great number of them. And today's promise is a promise about your future. Be confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Carry it on in completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight today. Father, I ask you that our music was a ministry unto your heart. It is our only ministry unto you, Lord, that we sing praises unto your name. And Father, we pray that we bless you today, that you are the audience of one and we are participants. And those that lead us are prompters of worship as we lead together and we sing together your name. Father, we pray we bless your name today. And Father, we lift high the banner through musical worship, through our giving, our tithes and offerings, as well as our preaching and teaching of the word. Father, we ask you to be blessed in it all. And Father, continue to use us as we do the work you've called us to carry on to completion until the day you return, and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. You and I ought to be very interested in our future. We should think about our future from time to time for several reasons. First of all, for the rest of your life is your future. What's happened in the past, you can't do anything about except possibly not commit those sins again. You can build off of the good stuff that's happened in your past, but it is the past. It's not the future. All of our life is the future. Two things that I could say about the future. Number one is that you don't know what's going to be like. We don't know what it's going to be like in our future. And secondly, we can't control it. We can navigate somewhere along the way, but we have no ability to control the future. We do not. I should definitely be interested in what God says about my future, because I have no idea, and none of us do, what's going to happen tomorrow. We have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow, much less next year. We certainly cannot control it. One of the ways that we try to control the future is to worry about it. We wring our hands and we worry about that. And really all that does is cause a lot of stress and physical angst in our life, and quite possibly could cause some physical damage in our life. And worry, to be quite honest with you, is worthless. It really is. It's worthless. So why should we know about our future? Well, first of all, God knows everything that is going to happen. He knows everything is going to happen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before his eyes. God knows everything that is going to happen in my life and in your life, in the life of this congregation. He knows everything, the beginning to the end. That is called the omniscience of God. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. God knows everything. Nothing gets past him. So in a practical sense, so to speak, what that means is God is never surprised about anything. He doesn't sit up in heaven and go, wait a minute, Roswell Street. Wow. He doesn't get off base there. He doesn't worry about there. God's not, you can't blow God's mind away. There's no way. You can't blow him over with a feather, right? He's not saying, oh, really, y'all did that? He probably goes, really, y'all did that? Really? Instead of like, wow, y'all did that. He goes like, really? That really wasn't the plan I had for you. God never says those kinds of things. God knows everything that's going to happen. He knows every thought that we have ever thought that we've ever had. He knows what we're going to think before we think it. God knows everything that's going to happen already in our life right now. There is nothing that you can do or I can do that he doesn't already know. Why? Because he's God. He knows everything. He has the plan already laid out. Why? Because God is not limited to time. God is timeless. So you see, your conception and my conception of time happens because we're on planet Earth, and planet Earth turns every 24 hours, and it goes around the sun 365 days a year. It happens that way. Einstein called it a space-time continuum. God is timeless. God can be in the past, he can be in the present, and he can be in the future all at once because God is not linear. He's not linear. At the same time, he is in the past, he's in the present, and he's in the future all at one time. By the way, God is also high. He is high and lofty. He is high because he sees everything in the past. He sees everything in the history. He sees everything into the future. He sees the beginning, he sees the middle, and he sees the end all at the same time. Why? Because he is God. And guess what? We are not. We are not. It doesn't bother him because he has a different perspective on the things of the future. He has a different perspective of that. He knows everything will happen. He knows it because he's not limited by time. The psalmist said something so beautiful in Psalms 139, verse 16. The days allotted to me have been allocated in your book before any of them ever happen. So God knows everything that's going to happen in every part of our life. In your mother's womb, God said, I already have the details mapped out every second, every moment of your life. By the way, that is why abortion is wrong, because abortion short circuits God's plan. Before you were even born, yet the conception, he already had a plan for you. God's plan for your life does not start the moment you take your first breath. It is at conception when your life begins, and God's plan shaping that begins then. Your life begins. My life began when God thought us up, when he thought about us before we ever took our first breath. He has a strategic plan for each and every one of us. Then God's plan just got aborted if someone goes through abortion. God's plan got short-circuit. That's wrong. So he knows everything that's going to happen. Secondly, God's plan for my future is good. God's plan is perfect. It's always good. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, to not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God's plan for my future is good. He's a good, good God. And that's not the title of a great little song. He is really a good, good God. It's not a bad plan. It's a good plan. He has no bad plans for his people. God's plan is always good because God is good. He has a perfect plan for each and every one of us. He has a long-range strategic plan for each and every one of us. And it would blow every one of our minds to think that we could figure this out. I'll be quite honest with you. I was thinking just this week in my study, many, many years ago when I surrendered to ministry, I mean, it's about eons ago, I mean, a long, long time ago when I surrendered to ministry, I had no idea that God's plan for me was to be as a pastor here at Roswell Street Baptist Church.
I had no idea. It would have blown my mind. Roswell Street, that is a legacy church. Oh, that's where the great pastor has been. Oh, my goodness, there's no way I'm going to stand on that. But this little redneck kid from Alabama is going to be here leading in this period of season right now? No, it would have blown my mind. But God strategically knew that plan before I ever thought about it. Some people have no plans for their future. They have just letting things happen. They have no plans. They just say, I have no goals in life. They just let it happen. What's going to happen is going to happen. But that's not the way God has wired us. He has a plan for every one of us. Some people just skate through life and just say, I'm just going to do it on my own. And we have a tendency to find those people stumbling along the way. God has thought far more about my life and your life than we have ever thought about our life, about every detail of our life, every thought, every part. And his plan is for our life. He has a good, good plan. Now, gathering here close, we can miss God's plan. Why? Because we have a free will and we can go on our own. And when we have a free will and we're not trusting in the Lord in directing our paths, we can hinder the freedom that he has in us. We can choose our own direction. The problem is we often make bad choices. God doesn't force his plan on us. He lays it out for us. He lays his purpose out for us because he created us. He wants his children to choose him and to love him. And God says, hey, you can choose your own path if you want to, but I want you to choose to love me. If you love me and surrender to me, I've got a great and mighty plan for you, but you have a choice to do that. Some of you say, well, I think I know God's plan better than I do, than he does. I'm here. He's up there somewhere in heaven. He's up there lofty building my home, but I'm down here in the midst of it. I'm fighting a good fight. I know the plan better. This gathering here close, friends, I have done that before, and it didn't work out very well. How many of y'all done it? Be honest. Come on. Raise your hand. I wish the television cameras could see y'all's hands. The rest of you are lying. Thank you very much for confessing your lie, because we've all made those choices, right, to go our own way. But pride keeps us from doing what God says do. Pride stands in the way of what God has orchestrated for us, and we say, we've got a better plan, we know a better way, and we're going to do it our way, because we, and it's all about us and not about him. That's called pride. Thirdly, I must choose to trust and obey God. Boy, that is a churchy line, isn't it? That is so churchy, but it's a reality. Notice what Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 says. Today I have given you a choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth and to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. Boy, that is a great line. So you and your descendants might live. We must choose to trust him and obey him. We to fulfill my created purpose for our lives, we must choose to trust and obey the Lord. Every day, every moment that I trust and obey the Lord, I am in compliance with the Lord's guiding and direction in my life. But I have a choice. I can choose not to eat that piece of pie at lunch today. I want to eat that piece of chocolate pie, but I can choose not to eat that chocolate pie. While it's good, it's beautiful, and it tastes wonderful, but it's probably not the healthiest thing that we choose to eat. Amen? And I use that as a crazy example, but we have a free will, and it's our choice. We can choose not to follow God. We can choose not to listen to God, and he's not going to force that on us. He said, I'm giving you the choice between real living and real dying, between blessing and curses. If you want to be blessed, then you got to do what God says do. And finally, in my introduction, God will be with me every step of the way. Every step of the way. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 5 and 6, beautiful verses. Listen to this. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you.
So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid. What can people do to me? Now, folks, gathering here close, this is a bedrock fundamental principle that we, as aspired Baptist believers, we believe the Bible, inerrancy, most of us believe the Bible is without error. And he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Simply put, you are never going to be, if you're saved by his grace, you are never going to be without God, ever. He saved you. He's not going to leave you. He says, you're not going to be alone. I will never ever leave you. Never will I forsake you. So to prove the point, I went back and did some research on that. I went back into the Greek and I really dug down on this word never. Never simply means no way, Jose, will I ever leave you. That is the Greek Spanish version of that. Never, ever, never, 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 never. In 1,000,000 years, I will never leave you. Or I will never abandon you. Others people say, well, God, I won't. Other people will betray you, but God says, I won't. Other people say, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to discriminate against you. But Jesus says, I won't. Other people may walk out of your life, but God says, I will not walk out of your life. Never, ever, ever. I'm never going to leave you. There are a lot of things that are real that you cannot see. There are a lot of things that are happening, even in this room. There are protons and there are electrons, and you can't see any one of them, but they are still real, and they are still alive, and they are active. So God knows everything that's going to happen even before it even happens. God's plan is good for us, and we must choose to trust him and obey him, and he will be with us every step of the way. Now that the introduction is over, I want to give you six promises God has for your future and my future. Number one is this. I'm going to fly through, so buckle up. God promises to guide me when I am confused. How many of y'all have ever gotten confused? How many of you have argued with GPS on your car? The rest of you are still lying. God promises that he will guide me when we're confused. Very familiar verse of scripture, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Notice it's a different translation. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and he will show you the right way. God does not want to show us Matthew the wrong way. He wants to show us the right way every time, but we've got to surrender our lives to him. We've got to trust him completely, and he will show us the right way. Why? Because he's a good, good God. He wants what's best for his children. One thing that we can predict about our future is that we're going to have a lot of decisions to make. You're going to have to make a lot of choices, and some of those choices are quite difficult, and some of them are somewhat confusion. And maybe on the surface, they don't even look like they're the right decision to make, but we got to lean in on God and trust him. Do I take this job, or do I move to this city? Should I buy this house, or should I marry? Please, wives, don't look at your husbands right now. We don't want you looking over there. You're already there, so stick it out. Amen. Suck it up, buttercup. That's what I want to say. There are lots of big life-changing decisions. A lot of times we are confused about them. We get confused because we are scared to make the decision. We won't pull the trigger. We get stuck kind of in our confusion. Well, who can I talk to, we say. Maybe I need to get some counsel. Maybe I'll sit down and talk to a friend. I don't have a problem with that. I talk to some of my friends, but I've come out of that usually this way. Dr. Scott, I've come out of that when I'm sitting down with my friends. They're just as confused as I am.
They're just as confused. And sometimes I want to get the counsel from the wise of others, and that's nothing wrong with that because Scripture teaches that, and we need to get all of that information. But listen to me, dear friends, gather in here close. God will promise to guide us if we lean into Him, if we trust Him every step of the way. Oh, I tell you what we can do. We can go social media. We can look on Fox News or MSNBC or CNN or any of those whacked out deals and media outlets, and good luck there, because they change their opinion just about every second, it seems like. When the wind blows, they go that direction. Now, some are worse than others, I will say that for a fact. But if you know the purpose that God has for you, you have to ask the one who has the purpose, and that's the inventor, God Himself. I trust His direction. Gather in here close, listen to this. God wants what's best for you. If you want to know the will of God, if we want to know the will of God, you need to know the Word of God. The Word of God, and trust the truth that it gives you. The will of God is the Word of God. The Word of God will never, ever lead you astray. Ever. So we must trust the Lord. We must be not confused, but don't be confused. Just trust Him that He will guide us. Number two, God's promise to help me when I am tempted. Yep, we get tempted, don't we? Notice what Paul told to the church at Corinth, chapter 10, verse 13 in 1 Corinthians. Remember that temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will keep the temptations from becoming so strong that you cannot stand up against it. When you are tempted, He will show you the way out so that you will not give in to it. Another way, another thing that is going to change in our future is that we're going to have the same old temptations. They're going to be there. Hate to tell you that. Sorry. Not very uplifting, but you've had temptations in the past. They're going to carry on with you along the way. The same temptations, resisting them, are going to come your way. Temptations will be there for the rest of your life. Now, let's say your weaknesses today you probably have struggled with. Some of you have a predisposition of controlling everything in every situation. You tend to be controlling in everything. The rest of your life, you're going to be tempted to control every situation. If you're tempted toward depression, some are, you're probably going to deal with the temptation to be depressed all the rest of your life. If you're tempted with arrogantness, you're arrogant and you don't want to listen to anybody. You have all the answers. Guess what? Your temptation that struggles you, that you struggle with, you're going to carry that on the rest of your life. If you're anxious, you will tend to be anxious the rest of your life. You're probably going to be tempted to worry a lot of stuff. You're going to wring your hands and chew on your fingers, so to speak. You will be better to know that God will grow you in that temptation. He will equip you to overcome. So that, let me give you some bad news and some good news and even some greater news about temptation. The bad news of temptation, you're never going to outgrow it. Some of you people say, well, I'll just get so spiritual that I'll overcome that. Sorry, quit being hyper-spiritual. The temptation is going to always be there. I'll prove the point in just a minute. The more mature I get, the more Satan is going to intervene. I've been walking with the Lord for 53 years. I am an old dude. 53 years I've been saved. Now, dear friends, let me tell you something. The closer I get to the Lord, the more the temptation of Satan comes against me. You say, well, he's not coming against me. Well, maybe he's already got you. Can I get amen to that? Dear friends, the temptation is going to always be there. The more you walk with the Lord, it's going to get even greater. We need brothers and sisters that will walk alongside us. Some have this carry of false shame in their life. I shouldn't be at this stage of life, and I just am temptation. And you have these thoughts. Let me tell you something. I shouldn't feel this way. Well, that's just not true, because you are not responsible for every thought that comes into your mind. When Satan gives you an idea, puts it in your mind, we call that
temptation. When God gives you an idea and suggestion in your mind, that is called inspiration. When Satan puts it in, it's temptation. When God puts it in, it's inspiration. Martin Luther said this, a great theologian. He said, you can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. I mean, that's a philosopher right there. You can keep them from building a nest in your hair. I should not feel guilty about all the things, the thoughts that I have. Satan threw those quickly into my brain. Just know where they come from. The bad news is you're going to be tempted the rest of your life. The good news is that a sin is not to be tempted. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to give into the temptation. Jesus gave us an example of that. Jesus was tempted at every point as we were, but he never sinned. Now, I'm not saying, don't walk away from here, that, boy, if we don't fall into temptation, we're going to live a sinless life. No, we are going to sin. Why? Because we're sinners. The beauty part is we're saved by God's grace. And God's grace overcomes that sin in our lives. The Lord is faithful. He will give you the strength to protect you from the evil one. If I've ever noticed, a lot of believers are just not just afraid of temptation. They are actually afraid of the devil. Paul wrote to the church, he said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We can be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. If you are a Christ follower, you have the Holy Spirit indwelled, embedded into your life, and God's love around you. Satan comes after you, he's got to go through the Trinity to get to you. He's got to go God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's got to go through all three to get to you. So may I suggest to you, trust in the promises of God. Trust that he will guide you. Trust that he will help you when you're tempted. And thirdly, God's promises to support me in trouble. Oh, dear friends, we're going to go through some trouble. It's part of life, right? Why? Because we're in a sinful world. We're in a fallen world. Isaiah 43, verse 2 and 3 says, when you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. For I am the Lord your God. Oh, dear friends, he's going to guide us when we're confused. He's going to help me when I'm tempted. He's going to support me when I'm going through some troubled waters. What's the difference between temptation and trouble? Oh, there's a big difference. Temptation is inside us. Trouble is outside us. Temptation is internal. Trouble is external. Temptation has to do with my character. Trouble has to do with my circumstances in life and over the rest of your life. Because you live in a broken planet, we will face temptation. We will have to overcome that, and we will face trouble at every aspect of our life. Jesus says, in the world, you will have trouble. Now, there's all kinds of trouble, right? There's relational trouble, financial trouble, physical trouble, trouble with your body, trouble with your mental capacity. Some of you saying, Dan, I see that in you. You have trouble with mental capacity. I understand that. Thank you for encouraging me. There's all kinds of different trials and tribulations and troubles that we will face. Some people's life expectancy on earth, this is not heaven, dear friends. That's why we say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because it's rarely, almost never done like it is in heaven on earth. Ever. Ever. God's will seldom be done on earth. That wasn't God's will. God is not the author of evil. He is not the author of evil. So don't blame God for the evil. Just recognize it and deal with it. God cannot do evil because God's will is not always done on earth. Oh, my folks, we live in a broken world. Just look around. Broken relationships, broken friendships. I mean, just look around. It doesn't take but a second to realize how broken this world is. But God gives us something that we can get through it. One verse that I've locked into in my entire life
It's a very familiar verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a daily promise, not a weekly promise, not a monthly promise, not a yearly promise. You see, by the way, God only gives us the promise for today. He didn't give us a promise for tomorrow. Rest in that promise, dear friends. God doesn't say, we're going to pray, give us this day our weekly bread. Give us this day our monthly bread, yearly bread. He says, give us this day our strength for today. God's strength for daily trouble today. God is not going to give you strength for tomorrow because tomorrow hasn't arrived. So promise to guide us when we're confused. Promises to help me when I'm tempted. Promise to support me in trouble and forth and I'm flying, so buckle up. God's promises to repay those who hurt me. He promises that. Romans chapter 12, verse 19, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God, for he has said, I will repay those who deserve it. God's promise to repay those who hurt me, those who hurt you. He doesn't want you to repay them. He doesn't want you to avenge yourself against them. He doesn't want you to perform retaliation. He says, I got this. Let me handle it. Have you noticed that the world seems to be getting meaner, more hateful, more rude, more uncivic? If you don't think the world's not getting rude, get on Interstate 75 and head towards the center of Atlanta. You will see rudeness prevail. More unfair. On the other side of the world, right now, on the other side of this planet that we're on, there are people living in poverty simply because they were born into that poverty. That's not fair. Of course it's not fair. But gathering here close, don't miss this. The truth is, life is not fair. God never said life would be fair. In fact, it's unfair because of the sin that's in the world. Jesus came to make things right, and one day they will be completely made right. But life is not fair right now. Sometimes bad people win. Sometimes good people suffer. Sometimes innocent people get hurt. Sometimes well-meaning people get abused or betrayed, or cheated on, or have their heart broken, and on, and on, and on. Oh, dear friends, sometimes love fights. Sometimes love defends. Sometimes love fights to protection of others. You recall many moons ago, it seems like, that I preached a message series called The Vineyard Passage through John 15. And I camped out on a verse that I found to be very inspiring in my life. It's John 15, verse 13. Greater love hath that than no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. God says, I don't want you wasting one second of your precious life on resentment or retaliation or revenge or trying to get even, because that's just not going to fill you with the poison. It's going to fill you with the poison of bitterness, and that's wasting of your precious time. So don't worry about dealing with those that have hurt you. God will do it. Fifthly, God promises to reward my service and generosity. Notice Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. God is not unfair. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him, how you have shown your love for him by helping his people as you continue to do. Now, part of God's great plan and purpose for our lives is that he wants us to become clearly like him. Jesus is our model for humanity. God wants us to grow up to be like Christ. He wants us to think like Christ and to feel like Christ and to love like Christ and to serve like Christ and to be giving our lives like Christ. Well, it's God wants us to become like Jesus. What is Jesus? Well, Jesus was completely unselfish. It wasn't all about him, but it was about him, because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But he didn't display that. The whole goal of life is learning how to be more and more unselfish. Kids, when they're little bitty kids, sometimes become sad. That's my toy. They'll snatch it away. But I see that happening with adults. I want to say, when are you going to grow up? I want it my way. I know what the plan is. I want it my way. Learning to be unselfish is learning real love. And how do you spell real love? Is G-I-V-E. Give. You can give without love, but you cannot love without giving. You cannot love without serving. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 9, Jesus says, use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you into an eternal home. Oh, my dear friends, God's promises to reward my service and my generosity. And six, and finally, and I close, God promises to keep me saved forever. Jesus said it best, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. There are going to be times that you and I want to let go of God. We've had it, God. This is no fun. I'm going to let go, and I've got a better plan. I'm going to go my own way. I am letting go. And God says, nope. I'm not letting go of you. I'm not letting go of you. You can try, but I'm not. Once you and I were physically born, we can never be physically unborn. Once you and I are saved by God's glorious grace, we can never, ever, never be unsaved. No one can snatch you from the hand of God. You and I can never get to the end of Him holding on to us. Never. I'm not going to go into the details of my story, but I was saved at 17, called to preach before my senior year, into my senior year of high school, knowing it. Graduated high school and said, God, not doing that. You have four of my cousins. You do not need me. You've got your allotment of my family right now. You do not need another. And I said, Ron, no. And for 11 years, I said no to God. End up in Decatur, Alabama, met this beautiful blonde. Now almost 45 years. I pinch myself every day. She said yes. She was lost without Jesus. She comes to faith in Christ. I recommit my life to Christ. And God says, that call on your life is irrevocable. When are you going to surrender? And I did, and almost 43 years now, we've been surrendered. Dear friends, God will never let go, ever. Your name is written into the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be erased. Don't know what my future holds. I don't know how many years I have left on this planet. You do not know how many more lives, how many more breaths you are going to take. You might lose everything. Your retirement may go away. Your health may fall. Your mind may be lost. But you will never, ever lose your salvation, ever. That's good news. That means I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I don't know what's coming. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. I know all things through Christ who strengthens me. The fact of the matter is what happens is there's not one thing that I can do, I can count on in this earth. He will always be with me till the end, every step of the way. Why? Because He is a faithful, good God. Paul wrote to the church, to Timothy, saying these words, if we are faithless, He will remain faithful. He cannot disown Himself. You might say, well, what if I mess up? What if I say something ugly? What if I don't give a tithe and offering? What if I just don't share the gospel? What if I just mess up? What if I really sin? What if I even deny Christ in my life? Well, a lot of people have done that, by the way. Listen to me. He's not going to be unfaithful. He's not going to be unfaithful. He's never going to be unfaithful to us. His promise to guide us when we're confused, to help us when we're tempted, to support us when we're through troubled times. He will repay those who have hurt us, and he will reward our service and our generosity. And dear friends, listen to me. He will never leave us ever, because we're saved and we will never be plucked out of the hand of God. What God started in our lives, he's going to finish in our lives. God never leaves anything unfinished. So this verse that I started with, lock into this. Be confident of this, dear friends. He who began a good work in you will carry it on into completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Feel like you're away from the Lord? Feel like you're on your own path? Come back to him. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. He has the best plan for you. Trust him. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And on a personal level, God's not in heaven wringing his hands about Roswell Street right now. He's just not. He's not. Why? Because he has the plan already laid out. Search team, he's got the plan already laid out. Deacons, he's got the search team already laid out. Finance committee, he's got the team, he's got the plan already laid out. Personnel committee, completely laid out. Youth ministry, done. Kids, handled. Music, piece of cake. I got this. Let's embrace the promises of God that he who began a good work will complete it. Why? Because God does not lie. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling. Maybe you're here today and you've been holding on to this plan that you have for you. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm at the end. That's exactly where God wants you to be, at the end of your plan. Because he's got a greater plan. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I've never truly invited Christ into my life. Let me just tell you, today, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Maybe here, viewing us by our live stream, or here in this building, you've never fully trusted Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Today is the day of salvation for you. Maybe you've messed up in the past. Guess what? So have I. And everybody sitting in this room has. But he is a good, good God, and he's got a great, great plan. And all we have to do is surrender to his lordship and let him be Lord of our lives. Father God, thank you so much for this moment. Thank you for your word. It never returns void. Father God, thank you for what you're about to do in this place. We want to trust you for every step of the way. Lord, as we stand and sing and Ron leads us to your throne of grace in our invitation song, Father, I pray that those that are viewing us by our live stream or here in this building will surrender to your lordship today. We trust you. We trust your promises. We trust your plan. We love you and we bless you in the strong and holy name of Jesus our Lord. Do your work in this place. In Jesus' name. In a moment we're going to stand. Ron's going to sing. And as soon as I'll say amen, in just a moment, we're going to stand. And you that have made decisions in your heart, he's publicly asking you to stand up and step out. To come forward. Maybe to kneel at this altar or see one of our pastors here at the front. To come and share with your life, share about your life and you're surrendering to his lordship today. He never called a silent disciple. He always calls us publicly to pronounce what he's done privately. in our lives. Father God, do your work in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.